It's Bible time. Bible time. Bible time. Bible time. I'm trying some new names out for the podcast.
It's Bible time?
It's Bible time. Wait, wow.
That sounds like
Bible time. Woo. Bible time.
Sounds like a game show.
A really, like, really crappy game
show.
Yeah,
like, what was the one? No whammies, no whammies.
Oh, Press Your Luck? That's not a crappy
game
show.
No, I'm not saying it's crappy. It's just like, I'm not saying that.
Next thing you know, you'll be insulting card sharks.
No, I would never.
Wow.
I still quote no whammies, especially when I'm trying to get through the train tracks.
There was a guy who memorized it.
I know.
Memorized the pattern. I read about it. So much money. It was amazing.
They caught him.
Hey, anyway.
It's Chip and Eric and Friends.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
That's the name of the podcast. No, that's all.
Okay. And it's day 133.
I wish you guys could see this paper where Allison tried to write the very simple numbers and day.
I don't know why it was so hard. It's just like...
It looks like about halfway through you had an epileptic seizure.
It's bad. Teachers are tired, folks.
Whatever.
Speaking of tired, it's day 133, and we're going to read Proverbs 21 and 22 and 1 Corinthians 6. And we're going to see if I can get through it without sounding like I don't know how to read.
You got this. The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. People may be right in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their heart. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer him sacrifices. Haughty eyes, a proud heart, and evil actions are all sin. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist in a deadly trap. The violence of the wicked sweeps them away because they refuse to do what's just. The guilty walk a crooked path, the innocent travel a straight road. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. That reminds me of yesterday's reading. Evil people desire evil. Their neighbors get no mercy from them. If you punish a mocker, the simple-minded become wise. If you instruct the wise, they will be all the wiser. The righteous one knows what is going on in the homes of the wicked. He will bring disaster on them. Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. A secret gift calms anger. A bribe under the table pacifies fury. Justice is a joy to the godly, but it terrifies evildoers. The person who strays from common sense will wake up in the company of the dead. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. The wicked are punished in the place of the godly, and traitors in the place of the honest. It's better to live alone in the desert than with a quarrelsome, complaining wife. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. The wise conquer the city of the strong and level the fortress in which they trust. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Mockers are proud and haughty. They act with boundless arrogance. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. The sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with the wrong motives. A false witness will be cut off, but a credible witness will be allowed to speak. The wicked bluff their way through, but the virtuous think before they act. No human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord.
Proverbs chapter 22. Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. A simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Corrupt people walk a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life will avoid it. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender.
I'll read that one again.
Just as the rich rule the poor, so is the borrower is servant to the lender. So the borrower is servant to the lender. One of these days we'll get it. I'll get it. Those who plant injustice will harvest disaster, and their reign of terror will come to an end. Hmm. Blessed are those who are generous, because they feed the poor. Throw out the mocker, and the fighting goes too. Quarrelsome and insults will disappear. Whoever loves a pure heart and gracious speech will have the king as a friend. The Lord perseveres. The Lord preserves those with knowledge, but he ruins the plans of the treacherous. The lazy person claims there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. The mouth of an immoral woman is a dangerous trap. Those who make the Lord angry will fall into it. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline will drive it far away. A person who gets ahead by oppressing the poor or by showering gifts on the rich will end in poverty.
Sayings of the wise. Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction, for it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips. I'm teaching you today, yes, you, so you will trust in the Lord. I have written 30 sayings for you, filled with advice and knowledge. In this way, you may know the truth and take an accurate report to those who sent you. Don't rob the poor just because you can, or exploit the needy in court, for the Lord is their defender. He will ruin anyone who ruins them. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. Don't cheat your neighbor by moving the ancient boundary markers set up by previous generations. Do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Avoiding lawsuits with Christians. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. If you have legal disputes about such matters, why go outside to outside judges who are not respected by the church? I'm saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Avoiding sexual sin. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything's good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And that is our reading today.
It's our reading today. Yeah.
I'm trying new things.
And always think it's a good idea to try new things.
We had two questions in mind. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So Allison, on this, the Day of Mothers, how does this help you love
God
more?
Okay, so I love the 1 Corinthians passage that talks about our bodies and do you know you don't belong to yourself? You were bought with a high price. Mm-hmm. Such an important thing to remember. Do you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? I used to have that on a chalkboard in my bathroom. Mm. And what's really interesting about that is I had it up there for the wrong reasons. Mm. And it took me a long time to learn that I had it up there for the wrong reasons. But I was using that in a way that, how do I put this? It was kind of almost turning into an idol. Mm-hmm. The idea of exercise, lose weight, look good, look, you know, your body is a temple. But that's not what it's saying.
Right, right. Yeah.
But you can twist anything. And so anyway, after years of soul searching and prayer and learning, I realized, no, I'm supposed to be a steward of my body, take care of my body. My body is a temple. God, the Holy Spirit lives in this temple. This is the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit lives within you. So taking care of yourself and your body and having respect for your body and what you do with it mm-hmm. is super important. And it helps me love God more by realizing that that's a way of worshiping God is mm-hmm. To remember that we are the day of the temple and God and the ark and God being there, you know, that's not the case anymore. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and it's super important to remember that and how we act and how we live and how we take care of ourselves and the things that we do. So it helps me love God more just to remember if your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, you got to remember you were bought at a price, and it was the biggest price that could ever be paid mm-hmm. ever. So anytime we do things that tear down our temple or aren't good for our temple, we got to remember the price that was paid for it mm-hmm. and to help us to not do that.
Totally true. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's a big struggle, right? I mean, it was a big struggle in the First Corinthians or in the Corinthians church. And it's a big struggle in the church today. And I think Christians have gotten really good at becoming secretive about their sexual sin, but not about repenting of their sexual sin, about being accountable for their sexual sin, about being willing to confess their sexual sin. I think those things are gone. And I think, we've just gotten better at hiding it, you know, yeah, I think that's just the wrong lesson was learned.
In that. Or putting the spotlight on other sexual sins.
Sure, yeah, outside the church, which we read about yesterday. Mm-hmm. He even says, like, it's not your job to judge the people outside the church. It's your job to judge the people in the church, though, mm-hmm. and to separate from those people, mm-hmm. and the church should separate those people as well mm-hmm. for the sake of rehabilitating them. What American Christian would ever be willing to say, oh, yeah, I got in a car accident with a person in my church, and now I'm suing them for whatever. Who would ever be willing to be like, yeah, or like, you know, you did business with someone in your church, and they totally, I can't think, what's the churchy way to say screwed you over? Anyway, they screwed you over, and
cheated you.
Yeah, what Christian in like would be like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna accept it. Like, I don't think any American Christians are willing to do that. Like, well, you know, and someone's going to be like, well, I would. Okay, great, you would. But everyone else wouldn't. And I just think that's such a thing. The church in the United States needs to learn how to love each other the way the first church was called to love each other. It is crazy to me. Like, I once made the claim that your church is supposed to be more important to, or as important, sorry, not more important, as important as like your family, like your, my literal sister, the way I love her, the way I look out for her, I should look out for the people in my church the same way, more as a pastor. But even when I wasn't a pastor, you know, like, mm-hmm. like the women in the church are my sisters and I should treat them like my sisters. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think churches do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that if a person lost $50,000 because of something another person did in the church, they wouldn't just absorb that for the sake of church unity. I just don't think they would. I'm not even saying I would, mm-hmm. but man, what a challenge. Paul's like, why not just be cheated? Why not just deal with it?
The unfair, I mean, we are so about, you know, fair and getting what's just, like, that's not fair to me. But then you look at Jesus and you're like, oh, man.
Right.
How unfairly was he treated?
Right. Like, on our behalf. Yeah. So, I don't know. There's my grand challenge. Learn to love in the church the way that we're actually supposed to love in the church. Not learn to be friendly. Mm-hmm. Not learn to brush by when somebody says that they're hurting or in need. Not that, but actually love them the way that you would love. Like, if your literal sibling came up to you and said, hey, things are really bad and I need some money and I don't know if I'll ever be able to repay you. Like, can we do that? You know, or we loan them money and they say, yeah, I'll definitely repay you. Don't worry about it. And you say, no problem. And then they never repay you and you don't take them to court.
You just keep quiet about it.
And you just take the hit.
Yeah.
You know, and, man, I wonder if we have that, if we're able to do that.
We've got to focus on the fact that how often has Jesus taken the hit?
Yeah. Yep.
We're constantly, you know.
So learn to love others more. I mean, this is such a practical thing. Mm-hmm. Don't. Like, if somebody cheats you, wrongs you, takes from you, steals from you, don't retaliate. Mm-hmm. Literally just take it and move on.
Mm-hmm. It's tough.
You can take it to your church. That's what he says there. Mm-hmm. Isn't there someone in the church?
That can talk you through it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and then I think as a pastor, if somebody came to me and said that, it's like I have no authority to go to that person and say, hey, you owe this person money. You need to pay up. I have no authority to do that.
No.
But I can go to that person and say, hey, you owe this person money and you need to pay up and we need to come to some sort of agreement or a plan. And then if it never happens, it never happens.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is, right? Yep. So, yeah, pretty crazy. I think that's a big leap for a lot of people. I don't think a lot of us would be willing to do that.
No.
And I'm not including myself in those that can or would.
Yeah.
But I would like to think I would, but I don't know. I've never been put in that position. So,
me neither.
But Alice and I will, since the church plant, since we started over in Heston and we're not in the same church anymore, I will be suing you. So,
you'll be what?
Suing you.
Oh, for what?
Emotional damages.
First of all,
yes,
that is, I have witnesses that could be the opposite.
Yeah, whatever.
Your witnesses. I have podcast after podcast after podcast that I could play in court.
Yeah, but you're the one that, like, walked in the room that one time. You're like, hey, Eric, give me your money or I'm going to punch you in the face.
It's not on recording.
But, yeah, but you just said it again just now for some reason. I don't know why you said that. Anyway, it's time to go.
We love you guys.
We do.
Keep reading.
Yes.
You are getting, you know what? This is, what is the halfway date, remember?
182.
What? I know. I mean, date.
Okay.
Remember, wasn't it in June?
Yeah, probably. Six months into the year.
But I mean.
You are a mess.
I have been grading.
I get it. Hey, you know what?
We're almost to the halfway point is what I was going to say.
You're not my mom. You're obviously not the mother of my children.
No.
But happy Mother's Day to
you. Thanks. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Thank you.
I hope you're doing something wonderful for yourself today. Like, you know, if you're
taking
me.
My mom and my wife to brunch.
Where?
I can't tell you or else you'll try to weasel your way in.
Oh, yes. That's what I'll do. Hey, guys. I don't want to go with my family. I want to go with you guys.
Hey, I know you made the reservation for 6, so I'm hoping Micah will just sit in the car. No, down in Wichita. Napoli. Italian eatery.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not an Italian brunch, but it's fine. It's just regular old brunch.
Happy Mother's Day, guys.
Happy Mother's Day.
And do some fun
things. You darn mothers. Have a good old day out there.
It's a
do something you love doing, like dishes or vacuuming or any of that stuff that moms love.
Okay. We love you guys. Have a great day. I'm ending it at that.
Fine. Keep listening or we'll take you to court.